Live from the old Austin Opry House in Austin, Texas, it's the After Reality TV Podcast.
This is the final rose, final rose tonight.
But first.
When people stop being polite.
Shut up.
And start getting real.
Good job, spoken.
Killed it. Good job.
Welcome to the After Reality TV Podcast. I'm Spencer Kitley.
And I'm Danny Oler.
This reality TV season, Dano, so much good stuff, and it really keeps spoiling us. We had some really solid ups and downs this week on the two-day marathon of The Bachelor. The Challenge Battle of the Exes, it continues to deliver because, well, it's the challenge. And Real World Skeletons, they provided maybe the most explosive fight ever on The Real World this week. All of that, a look at Sheena's wedding on Vanderpump Rules, and some news all on this week's show. Dano, we're back after a week off. We had a little communication snafu last week and didn't get a pod, but it was a good week this week in reality TV. But before we get started, let everybody know where they can find us online.
You can hit us on Twitter, at After Reality Pod, or like our Facebook page, the After Reality TV Podcast.
So, Dano, what's going on?
Man, I'm drenched in bachelor sweat. There was so much this week.
It was a dedicated week of watching TV. I'm behind on all my other shows, my non-reality shows.
I know. I haven't seen Parks yet, Parks and Recreation. I haven't seen any of the good shows yet.
And is that final season of that? I don't watch that show.
Yeah, it's been really good. It is the final. They're actually banging out. It's only like 13 episodes, but they're banging them out all in 1 month. So it's like two episodes a week. Yeah. And next week will be the final episode.
You watch Parks. I know you don't like it, but I watch Two and a Half Men. And as soon as I'm done here with the Thursday night podcast, going to watch the series finale of that.
Is Charlie coming back for this one?
That's the word.
That's the rumor, right?
Series finale. It's on now. So
Side story too. Like, I got behind on The Bachelor because I watched the Saturday Night Live special, which was like 3.5 hours. So yeah, I was banging out my Bachelor, you know, days.
I watched some of the Saturday Night Live special on Sunday, some of it on Monday, and some of it on Tuesday. Because I had to stay loyal. I was doing the people's work. I was live tweeting The Bachelor, making things happen because it's what I do. Quick side note, what did you think of the SNL thing?
I liked it. I mean, it was like a Saturday Night Live episode where there was high points, there was low points. I thought the music went real well. I really liked the best part I liked was Jerry Seinfeld's like Q&A session. I thought that was really went well. I liked Wayne's World. Overall, I would give it probably an A, which is
I enjoyed seeing all of the people there. I mean that's like the ultimate reality TV, right?
Yeah.
Saturday Night Live. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed seeing all of the old cast members. I love Celebrity Jeopardy. I enjoyed seeing that. Wayne's World. Probably the highlight for me though is the very beginning. You know, I love Timberlake and Fallon, so that was good for me.
It's funny you say that, because I felt like the only thing that really didn't fit in the episode was that opening. Like, it just didn't seem like it meshed with everything else.
Oh, there was plenty of stuff that I thought was really awkward. Like, the Californians thing that they did?
Yeah. Well, that's a running skit. That's a skit they do all the time. They don't do it. They used to do it more, but that's a recurring skit.
Is it? Yeah. See, I don't watch the show that regularly anymore, unless it's a host that I really want to see, but...
I think part of it, like, you have to be from California or spend time to really get that. It's kind of like King of the Hill. I think King of the Hill is probably 10 times funnier than probably the average person thinks it is. But I think Saturday Night Live is known to make fun of California a lot, so.
Yeah, I was just hoping, I enjoyed the show. I didn't think it was great, but I was hoping to like really be blown away with, and that they would make sure everything was really funny, but it was definitely hits and misses. And
that's
probably enough on that. We should probably go ahead and get into these reality shows.
3.5 hours of comedy, you're going to have some misses.
Yeah, Kanye's performance a definite miss, but
I liked it. You didn't like that?
No, that song sucked.
Okay.
And I like Kanye. Anyhow, let's get to this. The Bachelor. Five hours of Bachelor this week. We kicked it all off on Sunday night with what they were calling Chris Tells All. I kind of thought it was more of Chris Tells Some, Dan, because it wasn't very interesting, and nor did he say much.
Well, there were still like four more episodes left, so he's not going to say much. We know that. I mean, they were just trying to recap, I guess, up to that point. ABC was trying to get a little filler, and they probably also like, oh, this is a good time to get Andy on too. So,
yeah, and Andy was really the big piece of this show. Andy sat there and cried for probably 25 minutes of the show. And that's really all there was to it. I mean, we learned a little bit about how the best part of the show though was the stuff on Ashley S. and how truly crazy she was. That stuff wasn't like produced. This girl is out wandering around outside the house after rose ceremonies at night, peeking in doors and windows. She's eating the staff food, and then she was accusing the on-site accounting department, and really just they exposed her for being crazy, which was ironic because they'd shown her audition tape, and she was completely normal.
So you make it wonder if she had some sort of like mental breakdown almost on being on the show, which is kind of understanding. I mean, it's kind of a weird environment to throw yourself into. So
yeah, I don't know what would happen. I obviously not a medical professional. If you were to mix some kind of like anxiety medicine with a lot of alcohol, could that potentially make you a little crazy? I don't know.
Maybe she was
nervous about being on the show and took some anxiety medicine or something. I'm just hypothesizing here. I don't really know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I don't know the side effects of Xanax, right? Like a Xanax?
Yeah, stuff like that.
Xanax in a Miller Lite.
Maybe, yeah, this weekend, some bubbles?
I'll try that out for the people.
Okay.
I'll mix a Xanax and a Miller Lite, and I'll get back to you guys next week.
Very good. And yeah, and then we also learned that early on, Jillian was in the top three because Chris loved those short shorts and the black box backside. And that was really all there was to take away from that. We jumped right into the first of the 4 hours of The Bachelor. Jumped right in on the tail end of the two-on-one date. We didn't get to talk about that last week because we didn't do the pod, but that was great TV. Ashley and Kelsey, it didn't get a whole lot better than that, them both going home, him taking off in the helicopter, leaving them out there.
It would have been like a little bit better like if the helicopter was taken off and they were getting like sprayed with the sand.
Yeah, and they're standing right there.
And they were getting like covered in sand. That would have been pretty cool.
It's very much like our boy Casey Call with his Garden Protect Your Heart tattoo being left out on the glacier.
That's right.
When Allie picked rated R over him.
Yeah. Well, she didn't. She ended up not picking either of those two, so it worked out for everybody.
Yeah, so then at Cocktails and Roses, which was right after that two-on-one, Megan asked where she stood, and Megan had previously been in the pretty good graces of Chris and ended up sending her home. Harrison breaks the news that they're going to send another person home.
They're just banging through people. That
yeah, I know. But then Sol says, hold up, I'm not ready to let anybody go home. And just like that, we're off to Iowa on yet another great adventure of this season where we're just hopping around the U.S., and I kind of like it.
So I want to bring this up before I forget.
Okay.
But the rumor is, and my wife told me this, is that Chris might not be able to leave the country too much, or he has some issues.
I know a person that they have a DWI and they're not allowed to leave the country. So I wonder if...
Well, he has a couple... Like apparently he has a couple DUIs. I mean, he's got some marks on his record.
Yeah, apparently there's a somewhat significant probationary period on travel outside the U.S., but they are going to somewhere in the Caribbean this coming week.
So, yeah, but we'll jump ahead, but apparently that's one reason he didn't go to Canada, was Canada wouldn't let him in or something like that. For Jade, was it Jade?
No, that was Caitlin.
Caitlin.
Her parents, Snowbird.
Yes. But apparently that's why they didn't meet in Canada.
Yeah, I think her parents do have that place in Arizona, but if you go and kind of compare when you think they were filming that show, they would have still probably been in Canada because the weather would still been nice in Canada.
So that's one thing. It also makes sense, like, maybe Chris was really trying this, like, hey, my life is not going to be, like, hopping all across Europe. My life is waking up at 4 in the morning to milk the cows or whatever, and so let's do this the right way. I don't know.
It's waking up in the morning and walking around and telling everybody what to do.
Exactly.
So we're in Des Moines, Iowa. I've actually been to Des Moines. Des Moines was flooding at the time, and avoiding the flood. And Jade gets his first one-on-one date, and she's going to be the only one that gets to go on a date to Arlington, Iowa. Dan, they make it seem like Arlington, Iowa is in the suburbs of Des Moines. How far away do you think Arlington is from Des Moines?
Isn't it like 2.5-3 hours?
Yeah, 2 hours and 45 minutes driving.
Well, so this is what I was thinking, because if you looked up Arlington on the map, okay? And it's kind of like in the middle, it's like in the middle of the square of like Minneapolis, Chicago, Des Moines, and something else. But it was kind of like 2 hours, 4 hours, yeah, from all of, you know, 3 to 4 hours from all those places. So maybe that's just what they're used to. Like driving 3 hours to go to Chicago, or 3 hours to go to Des Moines. Well,
Madison was actually closer to Arlington when I looked at the map than, I'm pretty sure it was Madison.
Yeah.
Than Des Moines, and Cedar Rapids was much closer, which, I mean, not to say Cedar Rapids is a huge place, but anyhow.
This is some hot Iowa talk, Ravik.
Yeah, Jade's really getting some insight into his life on this date. This dude is the worst salesman ever, Dan.
Hey.
There's not a lot of jobs. There's no restaurants. The bar we used to hang out at, it closed. We got a coffee shop over here, except it's not really a coffee shop. Somebody just opens the door and they go in and drink coffee.
I mean, what's he going to lie to her?
I mean, take her out to where some scenic place or something where it looks nice. I don't know.
He did. He took her to his farm.
Yeah. And then they end up at the high school. And this is the weirdest date ever. Like sitting around in a classroom talking. Can you imagine a scenario where you would ever do that as an adult?
Well, I've never been on The Bachelor either, so I mean, they're doing their best. I think the probably heroes of this episode are the director, the producers, and everything like that, who had to figure out how to fill get 30 minutes of screen time in Arlington, Iowa.
Yeah, let's go ahead and trot them out on the football field. Oh, everybody's chanting for them to kiss. Oh, they're going to oblige the fans.
Yeah, I'm sure there's no one behind them telling them to, kiss, kiss, kiss.
Speaking of production, they're walking off the field after that. He throws his fist in the air, almost Rocky style. and they freeze frame it. This thing takes cheesy to a whole new level. I mean, I laughed out loud when it happened. Anyhow, that was Arlington. Whitney, her date's going to be in Des Moines. They hang out in Des Moines. It's this awkward photo-taking date. And they seem to have pushed the envelope on how awkward things can be on a regular basis.
Yeah, I mean, again, they're in Iowa, like, I don't think there's a lot they can do.
Let me ask you this, Dan, about Whitney.
I don't think Big and Rich is going to be throwing a concert the week they're there.
Perhaps not. Anyhow, Whitney, too over the top perky, or is that just how she is?
It's hard to tell. Can't tell if that's her real voice or that's just like an exciting voice she kind of gives off.
Her voice is different on the show than it is in the interviews.
Yeah, so maybe she's just excited during the interview. I don't know. It's hard to tell. You never really know. It's hard to say what personality you're getting from these reality stars.
And his friends just happened to be hanging out at the restaurant they went to.
What a coincidence. Well, they showed up.
What are the odds?
He was hanging out there, and then they had just appeared.
Yeah, and we had some more story. Whitney tells her story about her parents, and
I told you I think our last podcast I said everyone has a story, and you were like, I don't think Whitney has a story or something. Or it seems like every girl on this has a story.
Yeah, Becca doesn't really have a story.
I bet she could have had one. Give her one more week, and she would have had a story.
Anyhow, Whitney doesn't have a relationship with her father. Any chance the Bachelor producers try to go find this guy?
I don't know.
The first thing that came to mind. I don't know what that says about what I'm thinking when I'm watching the show, but anyhow, meanwhile, back at the hotel, the girls, they're hopping in a car and they're driving themselves out to Arlington.
Hey, it makes sense. I mean, if you're going to get engaged to a guy who lives there, you might as well go see it.
Yeah, I mean, I like this, but it's definitely something we've never seen before. I don't think we've ever seen the cast going out on their own on The Bachelor, which I like.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to suck to be stuck in a hotel for 2 days.
Yeah, there's only so much time you can spend at the pool, and when you're in Des Moines, I don't know what the weather was like. Might not have been exactly pool weather.
Yeah.
They might not have had a pool. There's a lot of indoor pools in the Midwest at hotels.
Yeah, but even if you do it once, you're like, okay, that's enough.
Yeah. Anyhow, I like that they ask, is this the main road? Did we miss downtown? I mean, the looks on their faces were priceless. I mean, you couldn't fake that. Anyhow, there ends up being a group date. It's ice skating, and that's neither here nor there. What I want to talk about is Carly goes to Chris and just rats out Britt on this date. And then Chris does exactly what he did with Ashley and Kelsey. He goes and confronts Britt. But Britt's pretty solid about it, I thought, until Caitlin gets the group date rose. They come back, Caitlin and Chris, and it's just daggers. And what did you think about Britt's response here, Dan?
I think it was actually probably one of the more honest responses. Because if you think about it, like, you kind of can see where Britt... I mean, yeah, it came off like shallow or whatever, but... I mean, in reality, she's got a point of, you know, me and Chris have had this connection for a while, and then out of nowhere, he gives someone else a rose. And you got to imagine if you were hanging out with someone, and you thought that they're about to pick you, and then he picks another rose, and then she kind of just exploded.
It was a mini meltdown.
It was a meltdown, but you can see where she was coming. I mean, I get where she was coming from. Like, when you're playing with these people emotionally.
I think it just all came out. But then I also have another theory here, kind of devil's advocate. Did she see this as, I wanted to be on the show, I'm trying to make it in Hollywood, this looks like a good exit strategy for me right here because I really don't want to end up at the end?
That could have been your strategy, but that is a horrible strategy. Like, has anyone ever like made it big because they went on... like a reality show. You know, there's the chances of her making it big in Hollywood, I feel, are very slim.
Yeah. She made an idiot of herself. She even said she made an idiot of it herself.
Britt's next job might be a server at Sir.
Ooh, she'd be great.
I see that's where she lands, is probably a server at Sir.
A server. Yeah, so Monday, we kicked it off. Becca had a one-on-one date, yada, yada, yada. I, I loved, I think it was with her, I can't recall what date it was. He sits down with someone and he says, "Forgive me if we've talked about this before, but can you tell me about your exes again?"
I'm honestly like, Becca. It's like,
I get all you confused.
Like, I don't know who Becca is, and I don't know who the Caitlin is.
You like, don't?
I guess now I do, but like, I couldn't tell you anything about Becca or Caitlin.
Caitlin's the one that showed up on night one talking about tight seals and plowing his field and saying all kinds of other inappropriate things.
Like, so I just don't, yeah, those two are like wallpaper to me.
I think there's a scenario. I think whoever wins, I think in my opinion right now, Becca or Whitney wins. And I think the other is the Bachelorette.
See, that's the other thing. I don't think any of the... I don't see the remaining being the Bachelorette. I think Carly should be the Bachelorette.
Yeah, I didn't like... I thought Carly turned into kind of a mean girl on this episode.
I thought she was the one... The only person on the show with, like, half... Some sort of personality.
And but then she kind of got her comeuppance rather quickly after being a mean girl. I want to finish up Britt's story because it's a pretty it's probably the biggest thing that's happened this season, save for the 2-on-1. She's got her bags packed the next morning after confronting Chris. Wants to talk to Souls. Harrison says there's no rose ceremony. And pulls him aside. She even gets a kiss from the dude. And next thing you know, she's crying hysterically on the curb. And Carly mean girls the crap out of her. And then minutes later, Carly joins her. I thought they would have been great if they'd put them in the same limo together.
That would have been interesting.
Great TV.
Yep.
Hometown dates, Dan. This is the most unusual series of hometown dates, I think, really ever on The Bachelor. Not because of anything that happened or anywhere they went, but because they were so short and nothing happened other than the thing with Jade. I mean, what? Like, if I said, hey, we went to Shreveport with Becca. Can you tell me anything that happened on that date?
I would have been like, who's Becca? I remember didn't her his mom like then like his her mom grill him, maybe?
Well, her sister tells him that Becca is not an intimate person.
Yeah.
And they actually ended up going to Louisiana State Fair, which that why they should have made something out of that. Something had to have happened. There are state fairs, lots of stuff happens.
Yeah. Funnel cakes?
Yeah. Anything. I mean, you come to Texas State Fair, you can eat your weight in fried food.
That's right.
Whitney, they go to Chicago for her. Some kind of humor there. She's a fertility nurse. They go in. She kind of jokingly asks Chris to give a specimen. He takes her into this room, and there's a stack of Playboys. First thought when that said, Dan, is...
Yeah, I think it was everyone. Like, is Jade on any of those Playboys?
Yeah. Wouldn't that have been fantastic?
That would have been good.
Oh, come on, Bachelor producers. You couldn't have made that happen?
Well, I don't think... Was Jade a real Playmate, or was she just like a Cyber Month Playgirl, or whatever those are called?
I think there's a difference. If I had to guess, she was probably online only. She probably didn't make the print edition.
Yeah, I don't think she... Yeah. I think it would have been a bigger deal if she made the print edition, maybe. Like, I mean, she probably wouldn't be on The Bachelor if she made the print edition.
Probably. That's more of a rarefied thing, I think. I don't know. Never subscribed, so don't know. Anyhow.
Well, I don't think Playmate of the Month needs to be looking for love.
Looking for love.
That's just my theory.
Gotcha. Anyhow, I I think Whitney's great. I mean, I think she is a good fit for going to the farm. Chris wanted to, was very polite, didn't know kind of who he should talk to about certain things at her house because she didn't have parents. Her sister was kind of a tough cookie, and that was kind of the main part of Whitney's date altogether. My wife thought that Whitney was going home because of that stuff with her sister. Did you have any hesitancies? I felt good about her staying. I thought Jade was in jeopardy there once saw the way things were going.
I think it's hard to knock Whitney out like this week, especially at her home because she has no parents. So I thought you couldn't take her home this week.
Say it's stop.
Yeah, I don't think he would take Whitney home this week, especially after visiting her family where she doesn't have any parents and had to talk to her uncle and her sister. Like, I don't think you'd take her out on hometown dates. Maybe next week.
Yeah, if I'm picking right now, I think Whitney's the winner, or if the final rose, I don't like to call him the winner, but the final rose. Caitlin, I don't really see her recording rap records in studios in Iowa, like she did with Chris on this one. Obviously, we don't know that much about Becca, and then Jade. Let's wrap up Jade's storyline. She's been popular all season. Hasn't been any secret leading up to this that she had this past in Playboy. But how awkward is it for Chris when he keeps hearing these them talk about her as a wild Mustang and this wild side, and like she's like super shy around him? I think that's what the huge red flags were for him, not that, hey, would you like to see my nude photos on this date?
Well, I mean, it's okay that it seems like she's still trying to figure out who she is too. So sounds like she was really a wild Mustang when she was kind of rebellious, being in a rebellious period. So, maybe now she's a little bit more timid just cause she's kind of finding who she really is.
I mean, I laughed out loud when she said, if you want, I could show you some of the photos.
Well, you might as well be honest and show them to him. I mean, it's not like any other model would show him her photography, so why not this? Yeah.
So, and we kind of got to see what kind of place Gearing, Nebraska is. That, for those of you who don't know, that's as far west in Nebraska as you can go. It's almost Wyoming. He's staying at like the Microtel, which is a hole in the wall piece of crap hotel. And she leaves his hotel room with no shoes on, walking down the carpeted hallway of a nasty hotel. That's just gross in my book.
Okay.
You think Chris goes back in and punches those photos back up on the computer?
No, well, producers.
No, I mean after Jade leaves.
I don't know. Maybe.
I'm watching the thing, and the rose ceremony, I can't really tell who's going to be leaving really after the dates. I was kind of guessing Jade just because there was some stake in the ground he could put there. He said it wasn't a deal breaker, though. Was it?
Well, it shouldn't be. I mean, any guy who spent the last year and a half on reality TV trying to find love shouldn't be judging people who, like, pose in Playboy, I think, or pose for Playboy. I don't think Chris has anything to stand on his little moral high ground or whatever, so I don't know. I actually think what Chris does... I mean, Chris took a shower with Jimmy Kimmel on national TV, so...
Well, they were in separate stalls.
Yeah, okay. There's been multiple videos of Chris taking a shower with his bare chest and everything. Like, on ABC, which is, like, you know, probably tons more people saw than what saw Jade. So I just don't think Chris should be throwing any shade on Jade.
Oh, look at you, Dan.
I'm bringing it back. I'm going to use it once in every podcast.
I mean, do you need to waste the fantasy date on someone you've already seen naked? Ba-doom-boom. Jade didn't go home a loser, though. She got to keep a $100,000 pair of earrings. Anyhow, let's take a look over at our friends at fantasyforreality.com, see how we're doing here after 8 weeks of The Bachelor. Dan has Caitlin left. I have Becca and Whitney left. And I've closed the gap a little bit, Dano. I'm down 750 points. And I think my two girls are probably the two finalists, if I'm guessing. So I think I got a shot. Although, Caitlin is the highest scoring girl of the season in the whole league. Actually, you had Britt. She was number two. So we'll keep an eye on that. Check out our friends over at fantasyforreality.com. Also, friends over at joust.com. They do some great games around The Bachelor and other reality shows. They'll be firing that up for Survivor next week. Let's go ahead and hop on over to the challenge. One of my favorite challenges every season, just like it is for TJ Lavin, is either the spelling or the trivia challenge, and that's what we had teed up this week. And going into this challenge, we had this really bizarre conversation with Zach and Jordan at the house. Did you catch on to this, Dan, this conversation?
Yeah, Zach seems to have one of these conversations like every season.
It's like they've gone out of their way to have this conversation, calling women inferior and swan donkeys, and I'm just like, what are these guys doing? Do they not know cameras are around? And why would you say this to begin with?
I don't know why you would say it to begin with, but I've heard Zach talk like this before. He's got something against women. The way he's been raised, it's weird.
Yeah, and Johnny Riley just stands there and observes the whole thing. Doesn't say a word. That was probably the amusing piece for me.
Well, good. He's the smart one.
Yeah. Anyhow, seventh challenge of the season, ironically titled "Are You the One?" We see them kind of blow through this. Some teams are really good, Sarah and Jordan, no surprise. Others are a little lucky. Others are just downright terrible. Let's go through a couple of these questions, then just rapid fire. Give me your answer in a couple seconds.
Capital Panama. I can't spell. Capital Panama, Panama City.
What's the square root of 9?
Square root of 9? Is there a square root of 9? 3?
Yes. 7 p.m. on the 24-hour military clock.
19.
Maximum numbers in a tweet?
Oh, 140?
That's correct.
Is that one of the questions?
Yeah.
That's a stupid question.
Whose face is on the dime?
Is it JFK?
Answer is FDR.
FDR. Coins are for poor people.
Yeah. I'll skip over the actress link to JFK, the creator of Facebook. I would hope you know those. They asked Zach, the French Revolution took place in what country? I mean, that's really a question?
In some of these, I mean, it's tricky. That's the thing. Like, you're like, is it? I don't know.
Seahawks beat the Broncos in the 2014 Super Bowl. Classic
That's
story.
Hard too, because I mean, even though I watch football, like it's sometimes I just can't keep up. I remember years that things happen. So
who did the Giants beat in their two Super Bowl wins, Dan?
Well, the Patriots. but I couldn't tell you what the Super Bowl number. Like, I think it was like 42, maybe 47, or something like that.
Well, they didn't ask that. They just said who did the Seahawks beat in the 2014 Super Bowl.
I know, but it's a tough question. I mean,
and And for them, the Seahawks hadn't been to two Super Bowls yet when they felt that. Anyhow, negative number greater than negative 15?
Greater? Negative 14?
Yeah, there you go. I'm skipping around here. Largest muscle in the body.
I don't know, the lung?
I don't think that's a muscle. I think that's an organ, but it would be the gluteus maximus.
Good for there.
And I'll skip over all the spelling questions for you, but I appreciated Leroy's answer of the land of the rising sun being Africa when they asked for what country.
That's not a bad guess. I mean, if you've seen The Lion King, right? That's all half the movie is the sun rising up.
Oh, my gosh.
It's true. I mean, it's not a bad guess.
The Taj Mahal's in what country, Dan?
Well, the one that's not in Atlantic City?
Yes. Not the Trump Taj Mahal.
Then the other one, I believe, is in India.
That is correct. And clinical name for the collarbone?
Clavicle.
What country Stonehenge in?
England.
That's correct. We skipped over some. You did admirably, Dan.
I've broken my collarbone twice, so I know what the clavicle is.
I can only imagine that's painful. Sarah and Jordan, they go the encyclopedias. They lose on Sarah spelling diaphragm.
I always really got that right.
Diaphragm. And somehow the informational brochure, that was a good Zachism, though, calling them the informational brochure, and Sarah and Jordan the encyclopedias. They win this thing. They become the power couple. And it sends Jordan into kind of a tizzy back at the house. And, like, it's no secret, I'm a fan of Jordan, but I don't like it when he goes into this just pissed off pouty mode. I don't like it.
But that's Jordan, like 90% of the time, that's who Jordan is.
Nah, you just don't like him. He's not like that all the time because he's usually winning. But she's spot on. She calls him a dick, and he was. But somehow the dude goes and strikes a deal with Jay and Jenna, and they don't put them in. Do you agree with this decision, Dan?
I do not.
Why?
You got to get rid of the strong teams. Like, I would rather... I mean, I don't understand why you want to take strong teams to the final. It's not like they're going to help you when you get there.
Who's a better team, Leroy and Naya or Sarah and Jordan?
Sarah and Jordan.
You think so?
I think so.
If you're swimming, I guess it is.
I think in the final, I don't think Leroy and Naya could hang.
Yeah, but I mean, the last week we didn't do the podcast, but they did that uphill challenge, which I really liked. That was brutal, and Sarah was dying on that thing. Vomiting up and down the hill.
I mean, that's one. Yeah, but I think overall, and you know there's going to be some sort of water event. You know there's going to be a climbing event. There's going to be a trivia event at the final. Like, I think Sarah wins 2 out of 3 of those, so.
Okay. So anyhow, Leroy and Naya go in. Jay and Jenna, they waver a little bit, end up putting them in anyway. They're going against Avery and Johnny. This dome thing, this is legit, Dano. Hooking up. Did you love this?
Yes. Every time.
Yeah. Hooking carabiners from hanging ropes to their opponents that are attached to harnesses. Leroy wins the first round, I mean, in a reasonable amount of time over Johnny Riley, right? Naya and Avery, like, almost 2 hours, really?
Yeah. And they only showed, like, what, maybe, like, 180 seconds of it or something. I mean, they didn't show that much. Like, it must have been a lot of standing around. There had to be tons of it.
Just, like, standing, tugging on your shorts kind of thing?
Yeah. Yeah, because they didn't show a whole lot either.
Yeah, which sends Avery and Riley to exile. Did you get caught up on your exile, Dan?
No,
they ran a show for you.
I didn't. I caught the catch-up show.
Yeah, you caught the catch-up show. You just hadn't seen the most recent one? So you want me to spoil it for you?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, Team Bonani still in it. It's Paul Russell. So they're going against Adam and Brittany and Paul Russell. And Johnny wins after a normal fight with Adam. Johnny's obviously done Paul Russell a couple times before. And then Nani, I thought Brittany might give her a fight. Nani literally wins the thing in like 4 seconds. Hmm? Not much of a challenge there. So, but Bonani versus Riley and Avery, I think it's nothing but good matchups the rest of the way in Exile, except for maybe if John A is there.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you wonder how much more they're gonna do. Too. Like what? That's sooner.
I think Exile goes all the way down to, like, I think you're in the final if you finish out Exile.
That'd be my
perception.
That'd be interesting.
Which would be awesome.
Someone back. I think you have to go like in the dome one more time.
You think if they're sending three teams to the final, that they come back with they'll be the fourth team remaining, and then they'll have one more elimination after that when the Exilers are there.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. It's gonna be interesting to see. It's definitely an interesting twist to kind of have hanging in the balance. I'm not even going to update the scores for Fantasy for Reality on that because you are destroying me by such a very large margin. It's not even close. You still have three teams left. I have two. So.
Hey, anything can happen.
Not even close. Let's get over to the real world. Real world skeletons. Last week, we obviously didn't have the show. Tony Madison finally like said, hey, we're together after him like finally seeing that what he was doing to her. Anyhow, favorite part of that episode, they went and partied at this place called El Jefe in Chicago, and I'd actually been there before.
Oh, wow.
Terrible Midwestern Mexican food, but looked like a fun time on the real world. But on that show, Bruno's brother, Brya, shows up. Dan, tell us why they don't get along.
Tuna fish. Right, a can of tuna?
Can of tuna fish.
Hey, I hate tuna, so I can see where they're coming from. Brya took
Bruno's food. They got into a fight, and Brya tells him that when you had that really bad car accident a couple years ago, I wish you had died.
Well, you've seen how Bruno reacts when someone takes your food. Like, he probably overreacted, and so his brother overreacted to his overreaction, and so it was just a downward spiral.
You think prior to him showing up, they had told the cast members to steal one of Bruno's hamburgers?
Maybe.
Might have happened.
Might have happened.
Anyhow, Brya comes right in, apologizes. It's pretty nice. It's not your usual real world moment, but it's a pretty nice moment. I mean, like, it's these brothers, and I think that's what the real world is trying to do this season, kind of like help these people improve as people. We've talked about it a little bit. They make up, but when they go out at night, Bruno doesn't go out with him. He goes out with his girlfriend.
Like, yeah, but
brother's in town. You can't go hang out with him.
Well,
or take his girlfriend with you.
He's been pretty consistent on not going out. So, I mean, and that's just. I think Bruno. I don't care who. I don't think he cares who's in town. He just doesn't want to go out.
Yeah. Anyhow, then Tony's little brother shows up. Side note, both of their brothers are gay, which led to the two of them making the most of their time on reality TV at the end of this episode.
That's right.
But the big crux of the story, it's Violetta's birthday weekend. Her friends have driven in 19 hours from Florida. We didn't even really meet her friends, which I thought was a little odd. I did like, though, that she had friends come in, and Tony had his brother come in, that weren't skeletons, and it was kind of like old school real world where people actually came and visited you.
Yeah, a little bit different for this season.
Until the car ride home from the boat. And Bruno, I don't even know why he started going ballistic to begin with. Because I think Sylvia playfully, like, hit him, and he just totally flips out on her and then flips out on everyone.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think she might have been, he took something probably more seriously than she did. And again, he overreacted, and then it just kind of escalated. It's unfortunate. Yeah. He's got a temper, though. That's the thing. You can't play with Bruno. Like, no, at this point in the season, you should know that you cannot play with him.
This dude is absolutely crazy, Dan.
He's got some issues.
Do you think it's all natural, or do you think there's any chance there's any, like, roid rage or anything there?
No, I think he's got some issues.
I mean, he flips out, gets out of the van, Nicole chases him down. She goes and kind of chills him out, I would assume, for probably a couple of hours. But then, as soon as they go back to the house, Bruno's brother runs up and tells him that Tony was insinuating that he and his brother would have fought Bruno in the van. And everything that Nicole just did to calm Bruno down sends this dude over the edge. He flips out. He flips barbecues. And he has lost his freaking mind, Dan.
Yeah, he's got some anger issues.
I mean, this is, I think, I can't think of someone flipping out this much ever on the Real World.
That's a good question.
They did on the Jersey Shore.
Yeah. Yeah, that's hard. I can't think of anything.
Yeah, I mean, this is a, like, one of a kind, just out of your mind flip out. I mean, Frank flipped out kind of some in San Diego, but not like this.
Yeah.
But just I wonder if he hangs around the whole season.
I think he does. I mean, how much more? They made it sound like there's not that much time left either. So,
yeah, I would think there's probably about 4 or 5 episodes left. I mean, we still have some skeletons left, right? We haven't had Madison or Jason skeletons.
Yeah, but they've been knocking out these skeletons pretty quickly too. So.
Yeah. Anyhow, we saw next episode Jason's daughter is going to be born, so
that might be his his skeleton, like him going to deal with that.
Yeah. Well, I think it's that. I think his dad also is coming as well.
Yeah. Good for him.
Yeah. So just a quick wrap up there on the Real World. Did you watch the kind of 2-part Vanderpump Rules thing the last couple weeks with Sheena and Shay's wedding?
Yeah, I caught it.
Let me ask you this, Dan. This thing is usually like 12 episodes, right? 12, 13 episodes. They just, every week I expect them to say next week on the season finale. It just keeps going and going and going.
Yeah, which is sad because they're not giving us too much either.
Yeah. We've played this game before. Is there a fourth season of Vanderpump Rules?
I hope not. I mean, as long as the ratings are there, I think they'll do it, but
yeah, I think there absolutely will be. They need to reinvent themselves a little bit, though. They need some fresh meat in there.
Yeah, like, the story's been told with these people.
Yeah, like, Stassi doesn't need to be on the show anymore.
No, I don't even know why she's on the show.
Yeah, she serves no purpose there.
No.
We kept cutting away from Sheena's wedding to go to Stassi and Christina hanging out. I'm wondering why Christina didn't get invited to the wedding. Well, probably everyone else from Sir had been there.
Well, probably she did, but she didn't go because Stassi wouldn't let her go.
She stayed loyal.
Yeah, that's right.
This is a really nice-looking wedding. I mean, that looked like a great venue.
Yeah, it did.
Do you think a lot of things may have been donated or the venue may have gone out of their way to really do things up for her because it was going to be on TV?
I think there were some things that she probably would normally have to pay for that she didn't have to, or they gave her some bonuses.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there was definitely a lot of opportunities for kickbacks there for her super bridezilla bitch, Sheena. Yeah. She was terrible. I mean, the stuff she was doing, she was like just go with the flow. I mean, I understand that you plan some things, and obviously, question I have, if you're a wedding planner and you know you're going to be on national TV, wouldn't you make sure you do a good job?
I don't know if this chick was like a real wedding planner. In the, I mean, Sheena made it sound like she got her for the cheap. I mean, it could be someone who's just doing this like on the weekends.
She paid her, I don't know. Paid her three grand.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a real.
Yeah, I, that's probably pretty cheap for LA.
Especially in LA, yeah. So looking at doing a little research, it looks like Vanderpump's ratings are probably about 50% higher than the Real World. So yeah.
So that indicates that Vanderpump's probably doing pretty well.
And it looks like next we have two more episodes of Vanderpump and then three kind of bonus episodes. Two reunions
and an outtakes.
And an outtakes.
I wonder if they get like a legit reunion this time. It was at Sur last season.
I think it's at Sur this time too. I think Andy, what's his name, posted stuff on Twitter of him at Sur.
Gotcha. His name is Andy Cohen, and he's got the 411. Yeah, he's the king of late night fun.
That's right.
Anyhow, James and Kristen, and we'll wrap it up with them. This girl is, we can't say it enough, but she's crazy, but so is he.
I mean, he's just immature.
Yeah, I mean, the dude's 22 years old, right?
Yeah.
I mean, those two are done. That's D-U-N done. They're not getting back together. I can almost guarantee that.
Good.
We'll see if I'm right next week. But,
I don't know why he was. I mean, she was just dating him to get back at Tom. So,
yeah,
I mean, that's how crazy she is. She's dating a guy just to make the other guy feel bad.
Yeah, I still enjoy the show. Next week, it looks like some things are going to come full circle, where maybe Jax is going to open his mouth again and spill some beans about Miami girl. So I'm looking forward to that. News. You got any good reality scoop, Dano?
I haven't heard anything. Well, not that I can remember. I mean, I did a little research on Chris to find out what his deal was, but nothing else. Yeah, about his doobies.
Gotcha. I saw that Khloe Kardashian has actually been kind of splitting time between Lamar and French Montana recently.
Is that what they're saying these days?
Lamb maybe back in the mix. Former Bachelorette Charlene, the opera singer, she's engaged.
Oh, good for her. And, some dude's going to be on Millionaire Matchmaker this week.
Yeah, Kovacs is.
Kovacs, yeah.
My wife watches that. I saw it on the DVR, and I was like, oh, I want to watch that one.
Yeah, well, so that goes.
No secret that Kovacs is, I like Kovacs. And then former Surreal Life star, you may also have known him from his early rap albums in the early 90s, Vanilla Ice.
Rod Van Winkle, yes.
Yeah, he's got arrested for burglary.
Yeah.
In connection with his reality show. Apparently he's got a show called The Vanilla Ice Project, which...
I think it's the DIY Network or something like that.
Is it?
Yeah.
Because I need to see that.
Yeah, apparently he says it was just a misunderstanding, so...
Yeah. Sounds like he also has some real estate ventures, Vanilla Ice Real Estate. So we'll check that out. Anything else in the news department, Dano?
That's all I got for today.
All right, I know you don't have to comment. I know you're not a big Survivor guy, but you are an Amazing Race guy. Both of those kick back up next week. I'm going to be out of the country, so I'm going to fall really behind on my reality shows. But we'll get our Survivor teams drafted up. Maybe at lunch tomorrow, maybe not. But here soon, we'll get ready for that, and we'll keep trucking along. Bachelor, Challenge, Real World. Keep up with us on the social media. Dan, tell them where they can find us.
You can hit us on Twitter at AfterRealityPod or like our Facebook page, The After Reality TV Podcast.
And you are on Twitter?
At Daniel Oehler, OEHLER.
I'm on Twitter at SpencerK11. Hopefully we'll see you again here next week. I'm going to be cramming from afar on my reality TV. But until then, we remind you, we like bears and Mexican food right here on the After Reality TV podcast.